you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Believe You Me, we're back. What's up, baby boy?
We are back, Lewis. You know what day it is?
Monday.
It is Monday, but more specifically, it's a very, very big day if you're a fucking nerd, if you're a nerd and you think you're funny and you just want to annoy people, today's the day that you can go on Instagram or Twitter, and you can tweet, "May the 4th be with you guys," because I'm seeing a lot of it. 4th of May, may the 4th be with you. It was funny. Funny is too strong a word. It was ever so slightly amusing and got a little smile out the crack of my mouth.
The first time it was clever. The first time I saw it.
4 or 5 years ago. I'm like, oh, I like that. I like that.
It was like now, on April 30th, they have the Justin Timberlake meme where he's like, it's going to be May for tomorrow. Like tomorrow it's going to be May.
All right.
I like too. It's clever. Like it's clever. But if you are... You know, if you're posting you're not a creative. If you ever post it, you're not creative. You should be a little more creative than that. It was cute the first time we saw it. It's just...
I might have posted it one time, Lewis.
Oh, Jesus.
When I first heard about it, as I say, it got a little smile, okay? One time, you get one pass. That's it. After that, you can't do it every year. It's not like your kid's birthday, which again, also gets old. Oh, yeah, happy birthday. It's great. Oh, you know, kids are like farts. You know what I mean? You just about stand your own. That's about it. Do you know what I mean? But if you're every year putting on May the 4th, especially now when you consider that all the latest Star Wars movies are shit, unless they want to cast me in one, then all of a sudden I think they're fantastic.
You got to watch what you're saying, dude. There's no reason to burn the Star Wars bridge.
I'm not burning the Star Wars bridge. I'm just saying that Star Wars was once a cherished thing to me. I loved Star Wars. I even like Revenge of the Sith, the new 3 that came out, Force Awakens. What were those 3? The Clone Wars... And then whatever, there was those.
I saw the one with Jar Jar Binks was the last one that I saw.
That's the one with Jar Jar Binks. Can't stand it. Can't stand that fucking character, Jar Jar Binks. One, so annoying. Two, it's just. I mean, I don't even think Disney owned it when Jar Jar Binks came out. But ever since Disney took over, they've gone a little too soppy for my liking.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched any of the new ones. There's just
Phantom Menace.
There's a lot. Like, there's a lot to unpack in those movies, and you have to sort of give a shit. There's too many characters. You know what I've never seen either? I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I've obviously never read the books.
Oh, dude, come on.
Never seen them. There's so much going on. You're like, if you...
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And they're long.
That's a part of the genre, the fantasy and sci-fi genre in general. It's just like...
We don't have to shit all over an entire genre here. Listen, Star Wars 1 to 3, very... Well, sorry. 4, 5, 6, which is initially 1 to 3.
You make me sick.
They're good. And then Phantom Menace, shit. Attack of the Clones, okay. Revenge of the Sith, that was a good movie. I mean, my God, that final scene, oh, it's just incredible. Then it just kind of, I don't know, maybe, to be fair, I'm a little bit older. I'm a little more miserable these days, you know. But I feel like they've gone a little more kiddified, which does fall in line with the Disney brand. But I haven't seen, what's it called, The Mandalorian. And I doubt you have either. But people are saying that was one of the best shows last year. Brian or Harrington, either you two saw The Mandalorian?
Mandalorian was dope.
See what I mean? I'm telling you.
It's supposed to be Brian, good. Brian, hey, look, if Brian says it's dope, it must be dope. Also, Brian's really showing his age when he says the word dope.
Can I see Brian? let me see what Brian looks like today. Brian, put yourself on camera. Whoa, look at this this guy?
Brian's in the Caribbean.
You look like, I forget the character's name, but you look like you're an early transitioning Teen Wolf. You know what I mean? You look like you're from the movie Teen Wolf, or the dad in Teen Wolf when they transformed. The worst makeup in the 80s, but yeah, Brian Teen Wolf McKay, there you go.
Brian's, I believe Brian's handsome. I don't know. Here's the, Bisping, I can tell you're a handsome man. I can just look at you, there's a handsome guy right there.
Ooh.
Apparently, Brian's also handsome. When I see Brian, I see a dirty, drug dealery sort of, guy who's going to be, outside of a high school, like trying to pick up chicks, buying kids liquor outside of a liquor store.
Hold on. Why do you hear that is why some women around the Gas Digital Studios, Some people go, ooh, Brian. Yeah, Brian's nice. Things couple, like that. Yeah,
some of the female producers have talked about it. And then also we've had...
Objectifying Brian. Okay, fuck this. This is ridiculous. In this day and age, women talking about Brian like he's a piece of meat. I won't stand for it. These people need to be named, shamed, and fired from Gas Digital, please.
This is my Me Too moment.
Yeah, you've been... Put a Harrington on. I want to see what Harrington looks like today. Show yourself, Harrington. Or don't.
What's up, Mike?
Oh.
Harrington, you're dressed like you should be in front of Brian's background. Oh.
What is going on? He's got the vest. He's got the hat. What is that, a fedora?
Yeah, man.
Here's the problem. Everyone's at home right now, and they have nothing better to do, so everyone's dressing up in silly costumes. Like, I have my glasses back. I was just sitting around the other day. My facial hair was growing back in. I was like, you know what? I'm sick of not having my look. So I decided to bring my look back. Everyone's playing dress up. So that's what's happening right now.
I'm not dressing up in the slightest. For me, it's just business as usual. This pandemic, I refuse to let it alter my day-to-day life. So I'm just rolling with the flow. But I tell you what, never mind the pandemic. The pandemic's one thing, and we've both said our thoughts on this, and nobody wants to hear it. But it's been up to level. Okay, it's like the bacteria and the animals are getting together and they've hatched a plan to eradicate the human race. They're like, okay, listen. Right. They had a big meeting, and you had the big animals up at the front, like the bears and shit. They're thick as fuck. They weren't saying much. But then you get down to the smaller ones, like, where's the virus? We need to send the virus in. But then, the humans fought back and beat the virus a bit. And they're like, fuck it. Send in the murder hornets, because that's what's happening now. Swarms and swarms of these gigantic, disgusting insects. Look at them. I mean, they are bad.
Where are they swarming in? Because I heard this too, but it's going to, in order for me to care about murder hornets, one is going to have to sting me on my dick.
Put it like this.
It's going to really affect my life.
They can sting you, pierce you, or stab you with their little pointy butthole things, and it'll go through the protection that people wear. You know, like beekeepers, they wear that protection. Mm-hmm. They can sting people through that, through the protective clothing. So I'm telling you, if a swarm of the murder hornets are come your way, Lewis, you better run for the fucking hills, buddy. Run for the hills.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. Call me a conspiracy theorist.
Oh my God.
I don't even believe that these murder hornets are real.
Are
I'd have
serious?
To see one. I'd have to see one. I don't know, man. Really? You believe that horseshit?
So hold on. Not only is the fact that they're going to come and attack us, that's bullshit, but the fact of them even existing is bullshit.
I mean, I hear every year we hear about just the fucking coronavirus conversation regurgitated again. Every year we hear about some crazy bees, some killer bees from Africa that are swarming, and they're going to be seen in California. They're going to kill people. Where are these killer bees? They never kill anybody.
They're coming
When's the last time you heard of somebody that was killed by a hornet?
Well, I'll tell you right now, because this is on CBSnews.com. Roughly 2-inch long insects known as murder hornets have made its way to the United States for the first time ever, researchers said. The Asian giant hornet, Vespa mandarinia, has been known to kill up to 50 people per year in Japan, according to the New York Times, and has the potential...
in the bucket, literally a non-measurable amount of people.
Unless you're one of them. And it has the potential to devastate the US bee populations. Hold on, here's the thing. Are you serious? The bees are the most important planet being on the planet. They are responsible.
I thought pigs were the most important.
Pigs taste good, but they just got a massive brain. Bees pollinate the earth. You know that, right? And the population of the bees are already declining. We got to look after our bees, guys. We got to look after our bees, man. Our bees, dude. And listen, they will eradicate the bees. And if no more pollination, more eradication, we go to starvation, because
DJ
nothing
Mikey
grows.
Bee.
And here's another thing. They're going to attack our crops. So also, right, I read today in one meat plant alone, 363 workers got the coronavirus. So there's a shortage coming of meat. Soon the supermarkets are going to have no meat on there. And we're all going to go, well, it's okay, we can have a vegetarian diet. But the murder hornets, man, are going to wipe out the crops, bro. We're going to be going hungry.
You are one of my friends who just need to never open the news. You have such a great life. You're a happy human being. You do not need to fear murder hornets. You don't need to fear pandemics. You, of all people, if you put your phone down, you would have nothing bad ever happening in your life.
I'm going down to the fucking hardware store. I'm going to buy lots of pieces of wood, lots of brackets, hammers, nails. I'm boarding up the windows of the house. I'm filling in the cracks with like some kind of solution, some kind of sealant. No fucking murder hornets are going to take me out, baby boy. I won the belt with one eye. It's going to take more some little fucking insects to take me on.
Oh, dude. What if a murder hornet stung you in your other eye?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
the worst place.
Ah, my eye. You got me in the eye. I remember once my dad. Oh, God, that's funny. That just reminded me of my dad years ago. My brother Conrad. It was his stag do, means bachelor party. And we went to this B&B in Blackpool. And then we were up all night. And then, I don't know, it was like 7 in the morning or something. And I thought it was funny. I'm eyeing up the fire extinguisher. We're all hammered. I was only about, I don't know, 19. So I was a little more immature and childish, but I picked up the fire extinguisher. I couldn't help it. I ran in, sprayed everyone there, thinking it was fucking hilarious. Things you do when you're young and it's 7 o'clock in the morning, you've been heavily drinking, and then it all kicked off. And I just remember here, as I ran out the B&B laughing my head off, I just heard my dad going, "You got me in the fucking eye! You got me in the fucking eye!" Anyway, that reminded me of that. Anyway, it is, for the first time in a long time, fight week. I'm very excited. The fights are going ahead. We have 3 fights in 8 days or 7 days. Technically, it's 8, but still, 3 fights in a week. Because there's 2 Saturdays. There's 2 Saturdays, but it's a week.
So when's the first fight is this Saturday coming up. And then when is the next fight?
Wednesday.
And then the following Saturday.
And then the following Saturday. Yeah. So I'll be doing the post-fight show on the Wednesday, not UFC 249. On the 30th, I'll be doing the post-fight show. And on the Saturday, I'll be doing the commentary and then the pre and post fight show as well, you know, obviously to keep less people in there. But, and I know a lot of people are going to be saying, "Oh, well, Michael, you know, you've been saying people should quarantine and now you're going to fly off to Florida and do that." Well, motherfuckers, UFC have done everything they can, including which changing my flight. I was going to fly in Wednesday morning. Now I'm going to fly in Monday, 2 days prior, because when I land, we all have to get tested for the coronavirus. Myself, fighters, doctors, cornermen, everything. And it takes 24 hours for the test results to come back in. So there we go. So if you get there and you get tested and you haven't got it and you stay quarantined or whatever and you go into the arena, then there's no danger of cross-contamination. So I applaud the UFC for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they've put every possible precaution in place, and they have to. I mean, no matter what's going to happen, the smoke's going to clear. There's going to be, with the amount of fighters, the amount of people, the amount of press, of course, the story will come out. Somebody will get sick from something, and people will love to hate. No matter what, people are going to figure out a way to hate. But the reality is, I applaud the UFC. I was watching the Countdown show earlier on today, and it gave me fucking goosebumps. They're the only professional sport that is, you know, stepping up and trying to make this happen. And they're not just saying, "Fuck it, we're throwing caution to the wind." They're working with local governments, the federal government. They're working with doctors. They're working with nurses. They're working with everyone to ensure that everybody is absolutely as safe as possible. And, you know, yes, it's a business. If I had to guess, I'm assuming that without a gate, without the same type of marketing in place the way they normally do, I'm assuming they're not making the same type of money off these events that they do off of other events. They're doing this to keep business going and keep it going as usual. And I'm just super appreciative of the fact that there is the one thing that I get right now to feel normal is this live event that's coming up, and Saturday night can't get here soon enough.
I can't wait. Saturday night, I'm going to sit down with my boys. And when I say my boys, I mean my sons. And hopefully the rest of the family will sit and join. I know Rebecca will, and I'm looking forward to it. A nice day. We'll watch the Countdown show. We'll do the pre-fight show if there is one, pre-fight, post-fight, the prelims, the whole bit. You know, we'll order some food, get some takeaway. couple of beers along the way and enjoy some fights like a regular, good old-fashioned Saturday night. As I say, I get tested when I get there. And when I fly, I've been told the seat next to me will have nobody occupying that seat. All I've got to do is wear an N95 mask the whole time and I should be good. But have you worn one of those masks, Lewis?
No.
They're not very comfortable. I don't know if I can sit there for 5.5 hours with it on.
I went out the other day in New York City. I went to the park just for a nice walk. Yeah, and I, you know,
as one does,
there's you know, I socially distance. Like I'm very away from people. I'm not near anybody, but I don't wear a mask when I walk around. Because I don't know. I just don't. I don't wear a mask, you know, and
flaunting other people's safety. I see. Okay.
If I'm coming, if I were going into a store, I do, because that's the rules number one. And number two, I have to actually come in contact with people or within a few feet. If I'm going to the park and I'm not near somebody, I don't need to put on a mask. I'm not concerned with getting sick. I'm personally not sick. I'm not going near people. And a lot of people in New York don't. There's people jogging. There's people walking. And I think that, you know, if you keep your distance from people, it's really respecting their boundaries. It's not so much about me. I'm just respecting the fact that somebody else might feel uncomfortable. But some guy was riding by on a bike with a mask on, and he's like, put on a mask. And he just rode away on his bike. And I was like,
get a car, you fucking douchebag. What are you, 12 years old? Fucking spandex head to toe with a stupid fucking helmet on. I hate cyclists. Fucking hate them. Fucking hate them. He would be one of those dickheads. Carry on.
But it's just saying. Like, and like, I guess it's going to be, I guess it'll probably be the topic. People are going to say I'm wrong, I'm sure, as well. But this guy, like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm like, all right, whatever, buddy. Have a good day. But you're in Harlem, you're fucking yelling at a Puerto Rican guy walking down the street to put on a mask. It's like, if you really want to stay away from people, maybe you don't start yelling at big Puerto Rican guys in the street. Whoa. I don't know. That's, that doesn't
big
seem like it's the
Puerto Rican guys. I remember that time you classed yourself as an alpha male. Yeah, but you know, I mean, listen, you got the camera angle super zoomed in on you. You know, you're a little heavy right now because of the quarantine and the lack of working out. And quite frankly, your lack of discipline, Lewis, yes, has caused you to put a few pounds on. But I wouldn't go around addressing yourself as ridiculously big.
I didn't say ridiculously big. I'm pretty big, though. I mean, I'm 6'1", 230 some odd pounds.
Fair enough.
I'm larger than the average man, you know?
And you look dodgy. You know what I mean?
Do look dodgy.
You do. You definitely look a little dodgy. Yeah. You look a little suspect. You know what I mean? You look like a criminal. And maybe a gang member. Pedophile? Rapist? Take your pick. You look like one.
It was just, it was just a moment. I was like, all right, buddy, have a good day. I took my son. We went geocaching again.
Okay.
I told you what that was.
Oh, you did. You bored me the first time, but you can bore me a second time.
Come on, man. It was so much fun. So much fun. The little treasures. That is a great fun activity you can do while everyone's quarantining and social distancing. You go out into the wilderness. You take a little bit of a hike. You find this little treasure.
Yeah.
It's great. I don't know.
Sorry, I thought you were going to finish off. I was waiting for you to finish.
There was nothing else there. But we went geocaching, and that's nice.
Yeah.
Real quick, let's take a quick second and thank the Ecoden pillow, which I love. My Ecoden pillow is. I don't know where my camera in the bedroom right now, but it's sitting right on top of all of my pillows. It is the one that I sleep on now. The Ecoden pillow is shaped to support your neck at the perfect angle. It's made with memory foam. Everyone, you've heard of memory foam, okay? You remember back in the day, the commercial with the woman jumping up and down on the bed with the glass of wine and made by NASA? Well, obviously, it's going to be a good pillow. It's going to have memory foam. But this one in particular, I've never slept on a more comfortable pillow in my entire life.
Oh, listen, this thing is absolutely beautiful. Whether you're sleeping or just lying in bed watching TV like I was last night, I was led there. I got a great night's sleep because of the Ecoden pillow. But I was also, when I was watching TV, very, very comfortable. And the reason being is the angles keep your head and shoulders supported and your body properly aligned for a restful sleep and pain-free living, which obviously for me is a big one. It will even help you correct your posture as it helps keep you from losing your neck's natural curvature, which is why so many of us have rounded shoulders and our head forward posture. And that's something I'm really trying to eradicate right now. My shoulders from all the years of fighting, they're forward. So this pillow, not only am I sleeping well, it's helping correct my posture, which is a big, big thing. I don't want to be walking around like Quasimodo in my 50s.
I have the shittiest posture on earth. I lean over, I hunch. You're right, dude. I feel just a lot more straightened out. When I wake up in the morning, I feel more awake for some reason. And I don't know if it's the pillow. I don't know what's going on. It's not a coincidence, though. I just happen to get this pillow and I'm getting better night's sleep. We're doing a pretty cool deal right now, okay? Because we're giving you a risk-free trial, 30-day trial and refund period, plus a 3-year warranty on the EcoDen pillow. I mean, let me tell you something. If that is not confidence in your product, I don't know what is.
3-year warranty and a 30-day money-back guarantee, is it? 30-day trial. So if you don't like it, send it back. And if you do like it, you got 3 years, okay? I don't know how you can make a pillow go faulty, but in 2.5 years, you can be like, listen, this memory foam has lost its memory, okay? This memory foam is full of shit, man. I asked him my address, didn't give me an answer, okay? And after 2.5 years, you say, you know what, EcoDen? Fucking this memory foam pillow doesn't remember shit. But until that time, you will sleep well, your posture will get better, and you will thank us. So please go to EcoDenDreams.com, E-C-O-D-E-N, EcoDenDreams.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE, you'll get 10% off, and you'll also get a great night's sleep. All right, guys. Obviously, 249, massive fight card this weekend. We're going to get into some of the fight stuff. But there's a story that I do want to talk about that we had it on our notes last week, and I think we had it on for the show before that as well. But, you know, just the way we are, you know, we have some kind of guidelines as to where we're going to go, but we just, for the most part, freestyle, so things slip through the net. So this was a story that broke last week, but certainly I haven't saw it too much on the news, and the story is... You have your hand raised at the back. Yes, sir. How can I help you?
I feel like before we really get into the meat and potatoes of the show, can we just take a moment? Because we also fucked up last week on the show and two different shows. We never wish Harrington happy birthday.
Whoa. I mean, that is definitely, I was just ramping up to an Oscar winning performance there. That was going to see us getting a crossover from podcast to network television. Okay. But you fucked it up. All right, Harrington. Harrington, show yourself on camera. If we're going to discuss you, Harrington, I want to see your face. Look at that. What is going on? What has changed? Is it the beard? Is it the mustache? The handlebar?
Yeah, it's all of it. I tried trimming up my beard. It got real patchy, and this was all I could save. So I just went for it.
Yeah, it looks good. So it was your birthday last week.
Yes, sir.
You were upset. You told us you were before we started the show, you said you were upset that we didn't bring it up on the show before this.
I purposely grabbed a slice of birthday cake before we started to see if anybody was going to ask me why I was eating cake at 3 p.m.
You're a fat fuck. We know why you're eating cake.
Yeah, I saw the cake and I just thought, well, standard, Harrington's eating cake. Come on. Lewis is drinking whiskey. You're eating cake. Brian's smoking a bong right now. That's why his camera isn't on the screen. And I'm just here, you know, living a virtuous, a very, very ethical life. How old were you, Harrington? And congratulations, buddy.
Thanks, man. 32 trips around the sun.
32 trips around the sun. Okay. All right.
Why do you have to say things like your
Yeah,
like,
I know. Like that
just
dad, threw
like
me
a dad
off.
Joke.
Just going with it fits my look now. You are a silly character. You know how it is, Lewis.
Listen, what the fuck did you just say, bro?
Silly character.
I'm a huge alpha Puerto Rican, you piece of shit.
Can I say something? Can I say something that I've noticed? I've noticed this, and it's an American thing, okay? Americans make a big deal of their own birthday.
Yeah.
They do. Like Ryan Harrington is kicked off because he needs it retroactively talked about, dating back to last week. You do. People do. I see it. All my American friends and particularly women, they not only have a birthday, they have a birthday week. And it's like, shut the fuck up. I feel like once you get past a certain age, and what did you say, Harrington, 35?
32.
All right. Once you get to 35, you're
banned. He looks terrible. He looks really bad.
Once you get to 35, you're banned about speaking about your own birthday. And maybe on the day of your birthday, your wife and your kids get your cake and you blow out the candle. You say, oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. But you don't bang on about it. You don't throw yourself a birthday party. You don't put it all over Instagram. You don't fly yourself and your buddies to some elaborate get-together celebration. You just go, this is the day I was born on.
You don't bring it up to the podcast you work for like it's an issue, like they fucked up. Well, like it's crazy, Harrington. Nobody cares. Does it matter when it was my birthday? Did we make a big to-do? When it's Bisping's birthday every year, to mock him, we all celebrate and eat cake in front of him. I mean, it's a funny bit because Bisping doesn't really care because he's an adult man and he's like, fuck it, I have bigger fish to fry.
But it breaks my heart that I'm in New York and you guys are digging into that cake and it looks good. And I think, wow, there's one part of the world I actually know some people and they give a shit about me enough to buy a cake. But I'm here. My own wife and kids don't even give a fuck.
So yeah. You know my pain, Mike.
Yeah, I do. I do. Oh, well, listen, happy belated. Next time I'm in New York, maybe we'll celebrate it again and we'll all get together and... When do you think that will be? My God, wouldn't that be
Harrington
nice?
Doesn't drink, by the way. So would you know Harrington had problems? If anybody at 32 years old that doesn't drink, they did shit.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because anytime someone says that they don't drink and they go, oh, okay, recovering alcoholic, were you? So, well, no, I weren't. I just don't drink. That's perfectly fine as well. But they do automatically assume that you're a recovering alcoholic when you don't drink.
Harrington is, I don't even know his story, but for sure he's a recovering alcoholic. There's no way that Harrington wasn't a major problem in his early 20s. Harrington, why don't you drink?
I quit drinking at 19, actually. And yeah, it's because I was a major problem.
Yeah, well, major problem for a lot of people. They don't do much about it. So you have my respect for that, Harrington. I'm constantly trying to give up drinking. You were able to do it. So in that regard, you're a better man than me, so well
don't
done.
Don't have respect. He's not a better man than you in any regard, and don't give him respect. He quit drinking at 19 because he was probably committing sexual criminal acts, and he was on the run from the law. There's no props here. It's a fucking bad thing. We should have probably done a background check on.
Listen, either way, I look at that man. I see him correcting the wrongs in his life, and I salute this guy. I say thank you very much. Now, back to the award-winning segment that was going to get us promoted to network television. I feel like, you know, something late 90, you know, James Corden, fuck that guy, we're taking over. Anyway, so the story was Luke Rockhold. And again, I wasn't too quick to talk about this because it seems like I'm trying to shit on Luke Rockhold. But the story goes, he was on Submission Radio. It's a podcast that they do down in Australia or a radio station, whatever it is. And he was talking about he was in Santa Monica or on Santa Monica Boulevard. So he was in Los Angeles. He was walking his dog. This is the gist of it. If I'm missing any points, Harrington, please dive in, or Brian, one of you. He's taking his dog for a walk and he sees this woman slumped over at a bus station. And he said, this woman looked terrible. Allow me to correct myself. He said, it looked terrible. And every time he referred to the lady going forward, he referred to her as it. She was on a bus stop bench and she looked bad, Rockhold said, like homeless, something along those lines. And she looked like probably meth or something, and just a nasty, nasty look. A lot of crap all over her face, maybe some blood or something I saw. She was super out of it. Sorry. Yeah, dude, she was super out of it, man. Like, glanced up at me, like, real quick, looked down. I didn't think anything of it. And I just kind of stayed there, man, on my path on the edge of the sidewalk and started walking, man. As I got closer, she popped up out of nowhere and ran at me like some kind of zombie or something, man. Dude, it's totally wild, man. And it was the last thing I expected. It was just walking, minding my own business with my dog. And this chick just runs at me with 15 feet or something. She just jumped up and started to run at me like, ah. And she was started, like, hawking a loogie, like she was going to spit at me. Like, it was like a full, just like trying to scare me, like, or infect me kind of thing. I don't know what she was on, but it didn't look like anything I wanted to be around. Scroll to the next page, please. Brian, I was reading off the page there. Could you tell? Anyway, story goes, she runs at him. And what does he do? What does he do? Brian's bringing it up. It happened so quickly, so instinctually. The thing just ran at me and was hawking this loogie, and I was like, what the fuck? And I didn't know what to do. As it got close to me, I just reared up with a vicious front kick and just launched that thing in the air and just, like, totally instinctually. And the thing just went up, landed on the ground, and literally, like, started quivering like a vampire frying in the sun or something, dude. Wow.
So what happened? Hold on.
A former world champion is going out there bragging about front kicking a homeless woman in the face and launching her into the air with a vicious kick, mind you.
Was it in the face or was it the chest?
Said the face. I wasn't was the there. Face?
Sorry. No, I don't know why I visualized the chest the whole time. Maybe I don't know where.
The tit.
Yeah, so was it the face, Harrington? Does it say? Either way, yeah, what a weird, bizarre thing. Like, there's a couple things. Number one, you would just leave that story to yourself. Like, you're not the hero there. It's not like you were attacked by a big fucking scary homeless guy or a group of guys and you had to defend yourself. And you had to tell this story. Or like the John Jones story when he chased the guy down that saw the woman's purse. It's like you're attacking not even like a healthy homeless woman, a sickly drug addicted homeless woman who can't hurt you. Actually,
She looked like a vampire, and she was dirty and decrepit and homeless, and she looked terrible, and she was out of it, and she was on meth, and I viciously front kicked her in the face.
You also can't, if somebody does this, you're not allowed to kick them in the face.
No.
It's a crime. I don't care what you want to, no matter what way you want to slice it. I'm not even being shitty, like we fuck around with Rockhold, but that sounds like a shitty thing to do. Rockhold, you're a fucking professional athlete, okay? You can outrun this homeless woman. Okay, so you make a choice there.
Good point.
She cannot grab you. She cannot hold you down. She cannot hurt you. The theory is that maybe she could spit on you and get you sick with the pandemic that's happening. I understand. But it takes less physical effort and takes you further away from her to go in the opposite direction. If you start to just simply do a light jog away from this woman.
I mean, look at the legs on Rockhold. I mean, the man is like a gazelle. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I've seen some fine legs in my time, and those things were designed for long distance running. Just a mere couple of strides would be fucking on the other side of the road, away from the politely mentally challenged young lady. Okay. Perhaps she was going over to ask for assistance, to ask the time. But perhaps she's been waiting for a bus. And God knows what the bus service is like. She's been there for fucking hours. She's like, excuse me, Mr. Rockhold, can you do me a favor? I'll just throw this out there. Next time, and this is for anyone, not for Luke Rockhold. Next time you go out there and viciously assault a woman, don't talk about it in your next media interview.
Just leave. You know what? We've all been there. We've all had some mishaps. We've had to kick homeless women in the head. But we don't talk about it or brag about it on podcasts. This is the problem. He doesn't do podcasts regularly like we do. We're pros. We would know just to leave it off the next podcast.
Unless it was a particularly slow news week. We're like, oh, God, all right, fuck it. I'll talk about the time
I homeless woman.
I head kicked a homeless woman. Aren't I great? So, yeah, man.
But isn't that illegal, though? Like, it's sort of, I'm not even being an asshole. I'm not being like a rat. Like, oh, we got to go arrest him. But like, you can't just start kicking women in the head because they fucking start coming in your direction.
I just can't believe it. Listen, I'm not trying to shit on Rockhold. I just said a couple of weeks ago, I wish him all the best. It's kind of like a truce thing. So I do wish him the best. Got nothing against him. It's just like, that's in the news. It's all over the place. You know, if you go to the MMA websites, which I'm not sure you do, but part of my morning routine, I get up, I have my coffee, I check my email, do the Instagram, Twitter for a minute, and then I'm like, oh, all right, well, let's have a quick look on the MMA websites. Certainly when I was fighting, I did it a lot more than what I do now, but I'll still do it like every day or every other day. You know, I'll take a look. Yeah, and it's on there. You know, it's well documented. I'll tell you what, if I was out there front kicking women in the face viciously in Los Angeles.
Viciously.
I'd have a lot. I blink at somebody the wrong way and I get sued. This motherfucker's out there kicking them in the face. By the way, I'm not saying he should be sued. He should have. Fortunately, the homeless person probably had no idea who he was and I forgot all about it.
He maybe should be sued. At what point, where's the line here, Bisping? This poor homeless woman, she's probably coming at him. She needed help. She was sick. She needed a doctor.
Yes, she needed help and Rockhold needed a victory. God knows he hasn't had one for a while, Lewis, okay? You got to look at it from both sides, okay? And do you know what? PTSD.
He saw flashes of you coming at him.
Yeah, he's like, it looks like this thing. She's got fucked up eyes. And with the, she thought it was a British accent.
Yeah.
I think it was on Reddit or MMA.tv or somewhere. When I saw it, and then there was discussion about it in the forums, and he says that she spat at him. And then one of the comments said, and I got a little giggle out of it. One of the comments was, just think if that spit had landed on his chin, it would have been his fourth knockout in a row. So maybe he did the right thing by running. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, right? I don't know Luke Rockhold from a hole in the wall. I don't care. I bite my tongue a lot when it comes down to shitting on fighters on the show, because since I've been doing the show with you for years, it's a much different thing. Like you know these people. It's a very strange thing for me to be one step removed from some of these people, and then me to, you know, for me to shit on them. And I just typically don't like doing it. I try to, you know, not do that really with any fighters for the most part. But I think Luke Rockhold is a shitty guy because he doesn't even realize to not brag about kicking a homeless woman in the chest and just the optics. You're like, no matter what way you want to slice it, even if he really felt as if he had to do that, he should have the wherewithal to go, you know what? I'm just going to keep this story to myself. I'm not going to go talk about it on podcasts. It shows you just sort of there's something not there. He's not really in touch with the way you're supposed to be.
Yeah, when you're 6'4", really, 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 really devastatingly good looking, legs like a gazelle, a former world champion, a former Strikeforce champion, an acclaimed skateboarder, surfer, model for Ralph Lauren, right? If you do happen to front kick a homeless woman in the face, maybe tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your teammates, tell your buddies at the bar if you weren't on quarantine. Maybe that's what it is. He would have done that, but he's on lockdown and he's just got to, he's scared. He's traumatized by the story. And it just so happened that Submission Radio called him after it just happened. He's like, guys, dude, like, got to totally tell you about this crazy story, man. Maybe that's what it was, Lou. So we're being a little too hard.
You know, we should get him on the show. See if he want to come and
call him up.
What happened.
Get him on the phone. Get him on the phone.
Get Anyways, him on the horn.
So that's what Luke Rockhold is up to these days.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank CBDMD, which is a great sponsor for this show. I love CBD products. My whole family at this point is using CBD products. And if you don't know, it is the non-psychoactive chemical in hemp or in marijuana. It is not does not get you high. It is legal in 50 states. When they talk about medical marijuana, this is essentially what they're talking about. It's the CBD chemical inside of this plant. And it has been known to help out with so many different afflictions. From physical pain to issues with sleeping, anxiety. Bisping, you use it on your knees. Your dad uses it. My great aunt uses it for her arthritis. He's using it right now. He had it sitting there, not for this ad read. He happened to just have it sitting in front of him because he uses it regularly.
No, it's true. I use it all the time. Freeze is one of my go-tos. And as you said, there's every type of way that you want to ingest the CBD. They got the tinctures, they got the drops, they got gummies, they got the freeze, they got the revive, they got bath bombs, you name it, they've got it. But also, they got a ton of merchandise. I don't know if you saw me at Christmas, which was a few months ago now, but I was rocking a beautiful Christmas sweater, cbdmd.com. If you go on there, they have t-shirts, hats. They got charging ports for your phones. They got merchandise for days. So they got CBD for days. They got health benefits for days. They got recovery. They got anxiety for days. They will have the relief of anxiety I'm talking about. They got all these things that will help you with your sleep. CBD, MD, PM. You'll have a great night's sleep with that stuff. Give that a try. But also, as I say, they got tons of merchandise as well. Listen, you all know the score of CBD by now. Nothing to do with getting high. All about getting your body in homeostasis. Google what that is. Realize the health benefits. It will help with anxiety, all those types of things. It's very, very well documented. But yeah, a ton of great merchandise as well. And of course, for listening to the show and putting up with our ad read, we give you a good offer. We're going to give you 20% off. That's a pretty big discount. 20%, Lewis. What is the code? I tell you what, hold on. Here it is. You go to cbdmd.com. That is their official website. Then you type in the code BYM. That tells them that we sent you, which obviously helps us in return on the podcast. So please use that code and then it will help you because it will lower your bill by 20%. So there you go. cbdmd.com and the code is BYM. All right. Let's get back into it. What else have we got? It is 249, but there's a lot of good stories towards the end. In fact, this one does relate to UFC 249, and we'll talk about it because it relates to the quarantining that a lot of people are doing. Number 5 on the points there, Harrington put this in. Uriah Hall and Jack Ray, obviously they're fighting on the undercard. We talked about that. You put 100 Corona coins on Jack Ray. I put 100 Corona coins on Uriah Hall. And it turns out that I think I made the right bet because Harrington states, Uriah Hall and Jack Ray had very different training camps ahead of this fight, with Uriah Hall packing his bags and moving into Fortis MMA. Oh, pardon me. Moving into Fortis MMA, living alone there and only interacting with coach Saif Saud. Jack Ray, meanwhile, has been prepping for this fight using only his wife's CrossFit weights and training equipment. So there you go.
But here's the thing. So I saw some of the Henry Cejudo training as well, and they didn't show any sparring in the countdown show. I don't know if they were sparring or whatever. I just they were doing a lot of, like, you know the dummies and slamming them, and they created a thing where the coach, I guess he had like the dummy on a stick. It was pretty cool, so he could, like, you know, sprawl and he could still socially distance. I don't know. I mean, if you're not really going in and training and putting in a full camp. Yeah,
how much of that? No. Just real quick on what you just said there. So on the countdown, it showed that, so they could socially distance and everything. How much of that do you think was just for the camera? And how much do you think they're actually training like that?
I think it probably was a lot for the camera, right? Yeah. You don't really know because people are assholes out there, right? So people that aren't even fight fans that would never order a UFC event in a million years will happen upon that on YouTube and be like, look, they're being irresponsible. They're not even fucking people that would ever be quite that at a UFC event. So I don't really know. And also it was kind of funny as well. So I don't know how much of it was them trying to sort of create a moment, a funny moment. But I also think that everyone is sort of at a disadvantage. And even if Uriah Hall moved in with his coach, was he getting, you know, the crazy extensive training camp that he would normally get? I don't really know. You know, was he sparring every day? Was he? So I think Jacare, with the amount of experience that Jacare has, high level experience, I don't think that that's going to make a massive difference at this fight.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. I mean, if when I fought Luke Rockhold for the belt, right, and I hadn't trained at all I was doing, I was filming a movie, remember, so I was just running and stuff like that, and I still went out and won the fight, right? Jacare, the point I'm bringing that up is because Jacare, he's around 40 years old now. He's definitely coming towards the end of his career, right? So, okay, there's Uriah Hall, because stylistically, Uriah Hall has a problem with Jacare, and we talked about this as many other fights, so we won't stay on this too long. But Jacare, realistically, his grappling is leaps and bounds ahead, right? The jiu-jitsu and the wrestling is way better. And all he's got to do is have the conditioning enough to get on the inside, hit a takedown, whether it's in the open or up against the fence, get him down on the ground and then look for a submission. And if you can keep the conditioning going to where he can wrestle hard for that amount of time, then yeah, he'll probably win that fight. So realistically, he doesn't need to polish his skill set, because him going in there and trying to fight Uriah Hall in a stand-up fight, he would lose that fight. He would, simple as that. So the game plan's simple, take him down. So therefore, it's just a case of getting in shape. He already knows how to do every submission under the sun. He's already proficient, already sharpened, and the skills are there. It's just a case of getting in fight shape and making weight. So it's an interesting contrast, but I get it from Jacare's side.
Yeah, and honestly, Jacare knows his own body and knows when he's in shape better than anybody else in the world would. It's, you know, without sparring and without really, you know, can you really be in fight shape without sparring?
Yes.
The other thing is, he's not doing five rounds here. Jacare, I don't know, I don't have his record in front of me, but he's fought a handful of five-round fights, I'm sure. This is just a three-round fight. I believe that Uriah Hall has had issues with cardio in the past. I think that overall, I think that it probably falls into Jacare's favor, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, as I said last time, the reason being I put 100 Corona coins on Uriah was because he is down there with a great team, with a great coach and great facilities. So we'll see. As I say, we broke that one down in detail, so we won't spend too much time on it. But I do want to backtrack on
answer
this
the question. I'm sorry. You're about to answer it. And do you think that you can, without sparring, do you think that you can be in a real fight shape?
Yeah, you can. You can. I mean, it's not ideal, but sprint work, bag work, pad work will get you in fucking great shape. CrossFit, I've never done CrossFit. It just seems like everyone does CrossFit because they want to get really, really good at exercising. I exercise so I can be good at sports. You know what I mean? I don't exercise.
Do you know what CrossFit is? Do you understand do you understand kind of the theory behind it?
Yeah, I don't understand the theory. I haven't done too much investigative journalism on it. But give me the elevator pitch.
Yeah, it is sport, right? So you compete against everybody in the class. You're competing against everybody nationally.
Yeah, but that's the sport. The sport is exercising.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not a sport.
That's not
a sport. I'm exercising. I'm really good at exercising. I will exercise the shit out of you. My exercising is way better than you because I do it at a higher output, guys. You're all exercising.
Well, I think the element of competition.
CrossFitters suck dick, okay? They're the best at exercising. Oh, do you CrossFit, bro? No, I fight in a cage. I don't exercise to a really high level. I do exercise so I can be good at sport. I don't do CrossFit so I can be really good at exercising.
Well, the idea is that it's competitive. No, I know.
I know. Honestly, I'm joking. CrossFitters.
They're going to freak out. They're going to beat you up, dude. They're going to fucking come and do some jump squats right in front of you.
No, they're going to come and fucking clean and press the shit out of me. I'm so dizzy. I've been clean and pressed like 100 times in a minute. I'm like, punch me down. Punch me down. Unhand me now.
Oh, shit. They're doing assisted pull-ups directly in my face.
fucking TRX bands all over the place, lassoing them and tying me up. Fucking hell.
The CrossFitters are coming at you.
The CrossFitters are coming, Jesus Christ.
It's anyway, kind of cool, though. I'm not, like, athletic at all. Like, somebody like you might get into it, though, because you do – the idea is that you're, like, sort of competing against everybody, and the element of competition drives people. So people that are former athletes like CrossFit.
I know. I'm joking. I'm being silly. I just, when I was fighting, which obviously I don't fight anymore, but when I was fighting, I saw somebody talk about CrossFit and they said, oh yeah, no, I exercise because I want to do sport. I don't exercise just to get good at exercising. But these days I do exercise just because I want to exercise because I want to stay in shape. But anyway, just backtracking from UFC 249 real quick, this was a good story and I want to talk about this. The Mountain from Game of Thrones, you're familiar with this man, the gigantic person. He just broke the world deadlift record previously held by England's Eddie Hall. He says that his next objective is to knock out Eddie Hall in the ring, as both men have been offered a seven-figure boxing contract by Core Sports. Seven figures. So that's at least $1 million. Whilst we're discussing this, Harrington O'Brien, can you both bring up some details? I mean, look at the size of these two. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, the left is the Mountain. The right is Eddie Hall. Yeah, the Mountain's a massive dude. You remember back in the day, there was that video of Connor.
No. The one on the left is Eddie Hall, I think. And the one on the right is the Mountain.
Yeah, you're right. Why the Mountain looks really lean on the right. Why?
The Mountain doesn't look like a Mountain at all. Mountain looks like Dominic Cruz cutting weight. What the fuck?
Maybe it's just Eddie Hall is so big. Yeah, dude. Mountain looks like a bitch there. Holy shit, dude. He looks massive every other time I've seen him, and he looks lean.
He's going to change his name from the Mountain to the Gentle Hill. The Gentle Hill.
Remember, listen. He sparred with Connor back in the day. There was that video.
Some big fucking guys here. But here's the thing. I mean, listen, I get it. I'm all for a bit of a... competitive spirit, you know, whether it's exercise, boxing, powerlifting, or fucking cleaning, pressing till your head falls off. I like it. It's good. But this boxing promoter, I don't know. So the boxing promoter has offered them a seven-figure deal. That's at least $1 million, right? Mm-hmm. One plus the six zeros, that's seven figures. So there's at least $1 million each. I've got no interest and no disrespect to either of these guys because they could pick me up and throw me to the other side of the street. But I've got no interest in watching two powerlifters boxing because I guarantee. Yes.
Either one of these guys could pick you up and throw you to the side of the street. You could literally beat the shit out of both these guys with one hand tied behind your back. They're big fucking meathead powerlifters.
Yeah, and one eye. Okay. Yes, I know. I'm just talking about the strength, their God-given strength.
God-given.
No. They obviously worked their fucking asses off, so no disrespect to either man. And they're incredibly strong. I think it was 501 kilos, the deadlift, which is 2.2 pounds in a kilo. So 501 times 2.2. 1,102 pounds. I mean, that's fucking insane. That is so strong. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But boxing, they'll be out of gas within a round, two rounds.
We watched
tops. This
happen in MMA before. Pudzianowski, exactly. Yeah. He fought MMA back in the day. Some pretty high profile fights as well, international fights. You watched him gas within 30 seconds, just not be able to lift his arms. So, their body types and that massive body type, it's not going to be conducive to a really high level entertaining martial arts bout.
Well, that's my point, because listen, at their chosen field, they're the best in the world powerlifting, and it's not easy. I'm not downplaying their achievements, because that's just incredible to be able to lift that kind of weight. They're the strongest men on the planet, and good for them. I'm way stronger than I could ever possibly dream of being. But just to your point, Mariusz Pudzianowski, he was the world's strongest man at one point, and he crossed over to mixed martial arts. I think he still fights, but he's had a lot of fights now, and he's still kind of gassy. He actually fought one of my good friends and training partners, Jay Silver. He went out there. I think he lost, but he gave him a good run. It was a good fight. But the point is, I don't know. I don't know what this boxing promoter's thinking, because I've got no desire to watch two powerlifters with terrible technique, right? I mean, it might be fun, for the powerlifting community, which I don't know how big that is. If the powerlifting community is big enough, then I guess there'll be a big enough crowd and interest on TV for streaming it or airing it. But still, as I say, after a round or two, it's just going to look bad. It's going to look bad to start with. It really is. But hold on, am I being a fucking miserable bastard? Will it just be fun?
It probably will just be fun. I mean, and look, I don't know how big powerlifting is on the international level. You know, bodybuilding, I've watched a few documentaries about bodybuilding. It's become a really massive, massive
business.
They're
not bodybuilders, though. They're powerlifters.
I know. So this is what I'm saying. I'm just sort of comparing it to that. And I know when they just canceled the Arnold Classic, the amount of people, because this just happened during this pandemic. Yeah. So they were talking about the amount of people that were coming out for this. And it was surprising. The number was like overwhelming. I forget the number, but it was just a crazy number. And I didn't even realize it was that much interest for bodybuilding. So maybe powerlifting is another thing that there's this massive underground. And if these are the absolute superstars, you know, look, nobody's putting up money like that to lose money. I'm sure that they've done a little bit of research, but it's not going to be combat sports fans that are purchasing this.
It will be the casual.
It'll be the Game of Thrones fans. I'm sure they're going to try to tap into that somehow.
I mean, I feel like I've seen something similar to this somewhere. I don't know what it was. Was it not two powerlifters? No, it wasn't two powerlifters. Two comedians on roller skates in Las Vegas, high as fuck. Who was that? What am I thinking of?
Roller skates on. Roller skate fights. Hey, not for nothing. I promise you the Luis J. Gomez, Ryan O'Neal fight will probably be more entertaining and you'll see more skill involved than the fucking Mountain versus Eddie whatever fight.
I can guarantee you, Eddie Hall and the Mountain, neither of them have a rash guard on, Luis. Guarantee that.
You didn't want to see me without a rash guard. It wasn't doing anybody any favors to see me without a rash guard.
Fair enough. Hey, listen. I wish the guys both the best. I really do, you know, and hopefully they make a ton of money and it's a great event. Because as you said, powerlifting, bodybuilding, fitness, I mean, it's just a ridiculously gigantic industry. And those guys are at the top of the food chain. So maybe there is. Go on. What was your question?
At this point, has become like, he's like a, you know, a meme. Like, he's such a big character. That show is such a massive show that people will tune in for that. Everyone will watch that on YouTube. I don't know what that means in terms of advertising revenue after the fact. But yeah, it'll get a lot of people clicking on it. Do you respect that fight more or the one we just saw with the YouTubers? Who are not athletes, but they actually looked pretty good in their fight.
Jake Paul and KSI. Well, to be honest, I mean, it's not a case of respecting either one. I respect them. They got the balls in there to go and fight. Then, yeah, fair play. I'm just kind of a purist. I want to see it at its highest level. And I do feel to a certain degree, I mean, that is entertainment, right? That if they fight, which I'm assuming they're going to, it's entertainment. It's not sport. And that's all well and good. You know, it's when they start trying to take it seriously and they're putting out a shitty product and it just waters down the overall quality of the sport in general, that's when I kind of have an issue with it. I've just seen Harrington here on the group chat has just chimed in. Harrington, you're wrong. And I'm going to challenge you. See, Harrington writes in and he puts comments. He goes, Arnold Sports Invitational did happen this year. 200,000 people in attendance. The Mountain headline, the powerlifting. The Arnold Classic did not happen this year. The Arnold Classic got cancelled. I remember seeing all about it because I was supposed to be in Columbus, Ohio, commentating the event. The Arnold Classic did not happen. Maybe the Arnold Sports Invitational did. Maybe that did, but the Arnold Classic
didn't. Maybe
there's
a differentiation.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's just good fun to shit on Harrington, especially when he wears a fucking fedora. Anyway, back to the news. Stephen A. Smith, want to go there?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I guess he is somewhat vindicated, right? Because Cerrone came out and I guess he did an interview and he himself admitted that he didn't really show up for that Conor fight.
Yeah, that's right. Remember after the fight, Stephen A. Smith said, oh, he didn't show up. He wasn't there, this and that. And then everybody and the dog in the MMA community came out and talked shit about Stephen A. Smith. And I think I said this at the time, so I'm not just trying to backtrack and kiss his ass or whatever. But I had no problem with what Stephen A. Smith said. You know, a lot of people, they part ways with their hard-earned money to buy a pay-per-view. And then Cerrone, he didn't show up. I'm not detracting from Conor. A win's a win. Quick win, solid win. Record victory time win. I don't know what the fastest time Cerrone has been beaten, but I would assume that Conor was the quickest man to do it. So, hey, congratulations there. But if you're Cerrone, I mean, come on, you've got to be somewhat embarrassed is a strong word, but pissed off with that performance. He's a notoriously slow starter. Stephen A. Smith said that, got a ton of shit. And now Cerrone himself has come out and said that. So if you're Stephen A. Smith right now, Yeah, just a little one. We won't spend too much time on that there, but I don't know. I thought everyone was a little mean on Stephen A. Smith. I feel like they always are. Anytime Stephen A. Smith is involved with covering the UFC, I see all the fucking assholes on Twitter. What is he doing here? He shouldn't be talking about this. But I think it's a good thing. Stephen A. Smith is one of the biggest names in sports broadcasting. He's the man. He's the top of the food chain guy. And for him to be discussing the UFC on ESPN, on SportsCenter, all these types of shows, it's going to elevate the sport even more, and it's going to try and get more people involved, interested, and make lifelong fans of mixed martial arts, because it's the greatest sport on the country, on the planet.
Sorry. And also, not for nothing, you don't need, you know, a Joe Rogan or a Michael Bisping or somebody who understands the sport on that high of a level to be commentating. Sometimes you need somebody who is a casual fan or somebody who understands it or is looking at it from the perspective of somebody who maybe understands other sports, because you're going to articulate it in a different way. Sometimes, you know, when you have, you know, Bisping, you speak about the sport on such a high level. I do the show with you. Sometimes I'm talking to you, I'm going like, oh shit, I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about. Like you understand it from the angle of being in the cage, being out of the cage, in, out, and everything. So
it's just my use of multi-syllable words, okay? I'll dumb myself down.
I get it really. Yeah. If you can just really use monosyllabic. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Syllable.
I almost.
Syllabical.
Monosyllabic. Monosyllabic.
What language are you speaking right now?
Monosyllabic.
Why are That's you speaking word, right? Arab to me? Monosyllabic. Monosyllabic.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
But yeah, like I think it's good to overall, and I agree with you. This is the quote from Donald Cerrone. He said, Donald showed up, Cowboy wasn't there. Wrong guy showed up, couldn't get going, couldn't get excited, couldn't get fired up, didn't want to be there. Biggest fight, all the attention, my time to shine. I didn't want to be there. It was crazy, man. I don't know why. And he goes on.
Yeah, well, there you go. Listen, fair play to Cerrone. And to be honest, you got to say that, because, you know, he didn't land the shot. He got his ass kicked, and that was that. And
well, imagine if he said the other. Imagine if he was like, that was the best I had to offer.
Well, exactly. There's nothing else to say. And to be honest, that is correct. You need to show up. You know, it is what it is. We talked about it at the time.
Mr. Bisping, we must take a quick second and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is Blue Chew. Blue Chew has turned me into a new man. It is what we have described for a very long time on this show as a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom. You've heard of Viagra and Cialis. Well, this is the same active ingredient, only it's chewable, it's cheaper, it comes to your door in discreet packaging, there's no doctor's visit. They've taken all of the BS and all the inconvenience out of getting these drugs, and they've made it essentially a perfect process.
Listen, here's the thing. It's not going to acquire the sexual partner for you, Harrington. So I see Harrington in the background getting very excited. No, it won't provide the sexual partner. But if you find a sexual partner, if you find a suitable suitor, shall we say a mate, they will have the time of their lives, because as you said, it does have the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. They are chewable. Chewables can work up to twice as fast as our regular pills, and they can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. As you said, Lewis, they come to the door in discreet packaging. BlueChew.com affiliated physicians, they are there online. All it is a very, very quick, you know, you fill in some forms, things like that. You get prescribed very, very fast. So no awkward in-person doctor visit, nothing like that. And as we said, it ships directly to your door. So you don't have to break quarantine, okay? You don't have to see a doctor. You don't have to pay money. You don't have to have it work slowly. It turns up at your door. I mean, what more do you want?
I mean, is Blue Chew going to go and make love to your wife? Probably not. But I mean, that's the only thing left for them to do.
They're gonna help you make love to your wife. Yes. Your wife is gonna be sitting there thinking, "Oh my God, he doesn't love me anymore." So hold on. Not only does it ship to your door in discreet packaging, it will save your marriage, right? You know, Mrs. Bisping is there. She's like, "I don't think he loves me anymore." I pop a Blue Chew. She's like, "Oh my God, this guy can't get enough of me." Okay, I feel like this side of Blue Chew is being vastly overlooked. They are saving marriages, relationships across the board, Lewis.
No, I completely agree. When I take a Blue Chew, I want to listen to my chick more. I want to talk more. I want to think about our future more. And
yeah,
the most
because you want to get into bed. Yes. So like, so you start, you're like, oh, really, babe? That's interesting. No, tell me all about your day. Wow, that's an amazing dress you've got on. I love the way it complements your figure. Basically, Blue Chew is not only the best sexual enhancement that you can find, it turns you into a better person.
It really does. And can I be honest about this? The way it works is very interesting because it kicks in about 30 to 45 minutes, depending, right? So there's a weird thing because like any tension is sort of put aside because you know right before you're going to go to the bedroom, right before you're going to go back home.
Bow, 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 bow.
Exactly. You pop it. It gives you the sense of confidence. It puts you in the mood. Even before it kicks in, you're sitting there going like, I'm ready to go. It really is great. And the coolest part of all of this, the best part of everything is we're giving you a free trial of Blue Chew. You can try it out for yourself. We're supposed to talk shit. We're supposed to make this thing sound great, okay? We're supposed to make it sound like the greatest pill on earth. But guess what? Talk is cheap. We're putting our money where our mouth is because the Believe in Me podcast is giving our listeners a free trial. All you got to do right
free,
now.
Free trial.
Go to bluechew.com. Bluechew, bluechew.com. And make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE when you go. Make sure you use that promo code BELIEVE. You're going to get a free trial of Bluechew. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. $5 shipping. Try it out. See for yourself. If you love it, well, guess what? You have a prescription. You keep it for the rest of your life. If you hate it, if you say, you know what, these guys are talking out of their ass, you will not say that. Well, guess what? There's no obligation. There's no nothing. It was a free trial. There you go. All right, bluechew.com. Use that promo code, BELIEVE.
We've got a lot of big fights happening. But prior to the 249 talk, staying on the UFC, point number 10, Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier. They're supposed to do a rubber match. You see that Ariel Helwani and DC are trying to give us a run for their money? You see that? They've started their own little rinky-dink show on a Mondays. Just them two, via satellite technology, talking about fights and things like that. And they're trying to replicate our chemistry and rip us off, Lewis.
Are you kidding me? We are the first ever MMA podcast.
First ever.
First the ever. Only we're the one. First ones. We're the only ones who ever had this idea. So how
first
dare
ever podcast.
You? Yes, I will say we're the godfathers of podcasting. How dare you, Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani? You know what? Let's challenge them to a tag team MMA match. I take Ariel. You take Daniel Cormier.
Well, you know DC thinks he can take me, don't you? So, okay. You fuck up Ariel Helwani, shut him up once and for good, and I'll take out DC. Listen, I'll take the tougher challenge. DC, it'll be a bit of work, you know?
Well, here's the thing. I will knock out Ariel, I mean, very easily. I mean, just within seconds.
How fast do you reckon you could knock out Ariel Helwani?
I mean, just within literal seconds, and then me and you double-team DC. No homo.
Yeah, no homo, none taken. But I think you'd be a distraction. I think I'd just like, no, Lewis, I need to focus, okay? It's the double champ. It's DC. He's a very good wrestler. He's got knockout power.
You think you'd have an easier time by yourself than me helping?
You are
come
a
on.
Hindrance right now. The only time I need you is if DC gets on top of me, you got to come up and like claw his eyes out or something, okay?
Just screaming at him.
I like every time I'm like, if we're on the feet and we're like skipping about, we're like, ooh, he's big. You got to dance around, keep it on the outside. You're like, hey, Mike, should I go? I'm like, shut the fuck up, Lewis. I was just about to make my move.
I just got to yell distractions at DC. Just try to get his attention off you for a second.
Tap him on the shoulder. Anyway, so they've been talking about the... they want to do the rubber match with DC and Stipe, which of course they should. They're 1-1. Cormier knocked him out the first one, and Stipe finished him in the second one with the body shots, and then it was a TKO. So they got to do the rematch, okay? And DC even said recently, pardon me, he said because he's going to retire, this is going to be his last ever fight. He spoke about it. He wanted to be retired by now, but obviously he lost to Stipe, did he? I'm not sure. Anyway, whatever. He wanted to be retired by now, and he's not. Because he wants to have this final fight, the trilogy match, just to seal the deal. And he said, I'm probably going to end up fighting Stipe with no crowd. My retirement fight after such an illustrious career, there won't even be a crowd there. But screw it, I'm willing to do it. Well, Stipe's come out this week and said, no, we're not. He said, I have got absolutely no interest in fighting right now. There's no way I can get a full camp in, so there's no reason to fight. It's tough because I have a lot of things going on in my world. My daughter, make sure she's okay. Going back to work, I'm just trying to do the best that I can. You got any info on that, Harrington? That's the quote that you gave me, but you got any other insight you can give us?
No, Stipe has just been reiterating this message over and over again. Anytime anybody comes to him talking about when he's going to fight DC, he always pushes it aside. There's bigger things to worry about in this world than fighting right now. So it seems like he's in no rush to get back in the octagon.
Well, I have no problem with that at all. I mean, look, you can't blame a guy for, you know, look, I call conspiracy theory all the time and blah, blah, blah. I'm not afraid. I don't wear a mask. But if he doesn't want to go and train and he can't, not even not want to train, but he can't get, I don't think anybody can truly get in a full training camp right now with the conditions that we have right now. There's no way. It's impossible. You can't get all the training partners. You're not going to be able to schedule the, even like the doctor's visits and, you know, dealing with strength and conditioning coaches and a dietitian. You bet how many people you had to interact with during a fighting camp. In fact, you could shed some light on that, Bisping. The amount of people that you have to, you know, rub elbows with or have to, you know, deal with throughout the 2 month fighting camp. I mean, it probably is in the dozens at least.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. When you're doing a full training camp, it's yeah. Listen, if you were to try and do a camp now, compared to a full training camp with zero restrictions and life back to normal, they won't. You know, you wouldn't be able to compare the two. I was just looking up DC here because I wanted to say maybe Stipe, because you know, and as you say, Stipe is well within his rights to say this, and I think the UFC even said, listen, there's no pressure, and there was no pressure on me as a commentator as well. They said, listen, Mike, if you want to do it, but you're allowed to say no, you know, it won't have a negative effect on you going forward. And same with all the fighters. But remember, and by the way, we're just spitballing here on this podcast like we always do. So this isn't, you know, this is me just making something up basically. But Stipe knows that DC is going to retire. Okay. And he's got the perfect excuse to say, I'm not fighting you right now because we've got a pandemic going on and you can't argue with that. Maybe he's just enjoying just getting one back at DC for making him wait all that time. Because remember, DC beat Stipe, then he fought Derek Lewis, and it was over a year. It was over a year before he got a rematch. So maybe he's just, you know, doing that on purpose. But saying that, we're coming up to almost a year, because that fight was August 2019, so 2020, May. We're not that far away. So listen, either way, I do want to see that fight. But Stipe saying that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, of course. They also split the fight. So, I mean, with Stipe, even if he won't say this, in his head, he's got to be going like, yeah, dude, Daniel Cormier is one of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet. Daniel Cormier can beat me. Daniel Cormier has beaten me. The reason I beat Daniel Cormier is because I know what that training camp, I know what I put into that camp. I know exactly what it took for me to get there mentally, physically, in order to beat Daniel Cormier. And I'm not going to go and have this regret and lose this title because I didn't do everything that I know is necessary. Well, it's probably the way most fighters should react.
I agree. You got to take it very, very seriously because it is a career that you're talking about. It's not only one fight, you know, and when you lose fights, it messes up the trajectory of your career. But also, if you look at the two fighters, I think Stipe would rely on a training camp a lot more. What I mean by that is the wrestling side of things. For Stipe, who is a very good wrestler, who can hold his own in the wrestling department, and as we saw in both of those first two fights, they didn't really turn into a wrestling match anyway. Predominantly, they were boxing matches with the odd kick here and there and a bit of clinch work. But even still, and DC said this, he said, I've got to go back to my wrestling for this third fight. DC has an advantage in the wrestling. For Stipe to counter that, he needs to bring in a lot of wrestlers. And during this pandemic, he cannot do that. So therefore, he's already at a disadvantage. They both possess the kind of power to knock one another out. They both finish each other on the feet, but Stipe has better wrestling, right? Probably only a bit better, but still has better wrestling. He is the wrestler out of the two. So therefore, for Stipe, I see what he's saying. He'd have to bring in four or five or even just two or three very high-level wrestlers to help him train for that fight.
And how's he going
to
get them?
And in this situation, you can't do it. Yeah. You can't do it. What is it? I'll wrestle you from the other side of the room, John. Yeah, right. Just go on fresh air. Double leg. Oh, I sprawled the fuck out of that one. And he's like, no. That was a successful takedown. He's like, it didn't feel like it because I'm still on my feet, dickhead. Do you know what I mean? So You can put a pad on the end of a broom handle. You know, you can put a boxing glove on the end of a mop. You know, you can do your pads. You can do whatever. But you can't wrestle at a distance, okay?
Yeah.
You got to be up close and personal. Yeah.
And that's a great point. You know, Cormier has that natural advantage. And if Stipe takes it seriously, he's going to want to bring in as many wrestlers as possible, the highest level wrestlers as possible. And it's, I don't know. It's sort of, you got to give Stipe a pass. Look, it's also great when you hear about all the guys that are stepping up and fighting and this thing, I don't give a fuck. And, you know, It's awesome. It's why we fell in love with this sport. The sport was built off of the foundation of guys that didn't know who they were going to fight. Three fights in one night, no weight classes, no rules. That is the fucking foundation of this sport. That is why we fell in love with it. But where this sport has gone, where you have high level athletes that are professionals, that are, you know, that are being spoken about in the same breath as NBA players, NFL players, professional golfers, ESPN caliber athletes, you have to take it somewhat seriously. And Stipe is only showing respect to the belt, his career, the UFC.
Yep.
And everything
and else. I'm not sure what Stipe's age is off the top of my head. I think he's a little younger than DC, but yeah, you know, I mean, if he loses that belt, he loses massive earning potential. Now, when DC retires, he said he's going to retire after this fight, but let's just say DC wins and then he retires and then Stipe becomes the champion again. He'll never get that kind of same respect. People would say, no, you're only the champ because DC retired. You see what I'm saying? So it's imperative, not only from his own competitive standpoint, for his legacy, he has to win that fight. Otherwise, he'll always be runner-up to DC. Stipe is 37, by the way. DC's now 41, same age as me. It's a good age, DC. Anyway, moving on. 249, where should we go?
Real quick, let me just grab just a cube of ice, if you don't mind, Mr. Bisping.
Okay. You go get a cube of ice. I'll do some ad reads. I'll do some reads. Subscribe to Gas Digital. I won't do it because I don't know what I'm doing. But just go get the ice. Go get
all
the ice. For
30-day promo, you know, YouTube, all that stuff.
Yeah, I've got it.
BYM30.
Yeah, that's the code. If you want to subscribe to Gas Digital Network, the code is BYM30. You got the whole back catalog. Also, on YouTube, we're growing there. Thank you so much. Please go out there. Tell all your friends. Give us a 5-star review. But word of mouth is one of the best ways that this show spreads. And we are growing all the time, and we do appreciate it. By the way, we are rebranding the show very, very soon. Believe you me, 2.0 is coming up. You're going to see some changes, but stick with us and they will happen. And on that note, he is back. He's got the ice. He's plugged into the matrix and he has a microphone in front of him. Okay. UFC 249, we talked about it a little bit. You watched the countdown show. UFC do such a good job with those. Ron Perlman doing the voiceover is just so funny.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, Ron Perlman, Hellboy.
That's so funny because I'm a huge fan of, what's the biker show? I guess not that big a fan.
Sons of Anarchy.
So good. Have you watched?
No.
So good. You would dig it.
And also didn't like it. Didn't like it. Tried two or three times. Didn't like it.
Main character, British guy, does an American accent.
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam. Got it. I'm on it. You don't know the name. You don't know the actors. I know all of them.
You know it all.
I don't like it. I don't like
how
it.
How many episodes did you watch?
I got up to the point because his mother, she's like selling drugs or she's like a bit of a slag, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got Betty a few Bundy. Into it. A few into it, but yeah, I don't know. It just didn't grip me. Much like The Wire. Everyone says The Wire is the best show ever.
Yeah.
I watched this, like, few episodes. I'm like,
Language was too thick on it. Like, I feel like you have to be a beat cop to understand what the fuck they're talking about. I'm like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, it's just a little too urban for Rebecca as well. She doesn't like that kind of show. You know what
Rebecca's
I'm saying?
Racist.
She's not into like the whole, like, you know, the urban scene, you know, like drug dealers and all that type of stuff. Nothing to do with black people. Right. No, just like she just doesn't care for that genre. Do you know what I mean? So only was I not grabbed by it, you know what I mean? I also had Rebecca chirping, "This is garbage. This is terrible. Yeah. Nobody likes this.
There's way too many black people, Michael. Turn it off."
Yeah, something like that.
Funny because you can say that you don't like, I can say I don't like the fantasy genre. Like, I don't like, you know, dragons. But if you say I don't like, if I don't like urban shit, it could be easily portrayed that way.
Yeah, but I didn't say I don't like the color of the people in the urban show. I said I don't like the storylines that they're going at here. Gangs, drug dealers, cops, robbers, you know what I mean? I just wasn't feeling it, you know? Or I wasn't, and neither was my wife. I do want to talk this, though. Francis Ngannou, Jairzinho Rozenstruik. It's a big fight. It's a big fight. And
it's supposed to be a main event.
Two big men, two very, very big men that hit hard with absolute knockout power. All right, I'm going to read Hamilton's notes here. Let's see how good they are. Rozenstruik versus Ngannou, a showdown that all but guarantees fireworks. These two men like to get to business early, with 17 of 24 total wins between these two coming via first round knockout or TKO. It's pretty good. Rosenstrike has been on fire since joining the UFC, going 4-0 since joining the promotion, with wins over Alan Crowder, Junior Albini, Andre Arlovski, and most recently, Alistair Overeem. All KO wins. Ngannou had a rough start to 2018, dropping his title shot to Stipe before putting on one of the most boring fights in UFC history in a decision loss to Derek Lewis. He has since bounced back to, in his usual devastating fashion, picking up 3 first-round KOs against Curtis Blaydes, Cain Velasquez, and Junior Dos Santos. With the title held up thanks to Stipe's eye injury and now the COVID-19 situation keeping the champion on the shelf and a presumed trilogy fight with DC on the deck for the Cleveland native, the heavyweight title picture at heavyweight has been a bit murky, leading Rosenstrike to call for an interim title for this fight. Although the request was declined by the UFC, one would have to assume the winner of this fight will likely fight for the heavyweight title one thing shake out with Stipe and DC. Both men are 6'4". Ngannou has a 5-inch reach advantage at an absurd 83 inches. It goes on for a while. I'm giving up. That's good info, though, Harrington. Thank you very much. All right, then we'll carry on. Both men are 6'4". Ngannou has a 5-inch reach advantage at 83 inches. Ngannou's 7 pro fight edge is a little deceptive, as Rosenstrike took 5 years off from MMA to focus on kickboxing, where he amassed 85 fights with a record of 76-8-1. Rosenstrike has that higher output with 3.72 strikes landed per minute, with 47% accuracy on his strikes, compared to 2.15 strikes landed per Ngannou.
2.15 gigabytes.
With 37% accuracy. The defense in the striking department is in Ngannou's favor, with a 48% defense rate compared to just 32% rate for Rosenstrike, which amounts to one of the significant strike absorbed per... What are we meant to do with this? It's a lot of in-depth knowledge, okay? It's... Thank you, Harrington. Love it, though. It's very, very good. Very good. They're both big, big, heavy hitters. This fight's going to absolutely deliver. Now, the one thing I am scared of is them, I guess, being scared. Not scared, that's not the right word, but remember Derek Lewis and Ngannou, which is what Harrington alluded to there in the notes. One of the worst fights you'll ever see. But at least as the fight progressed, Derek Lewis was like, you know, I got to throw caution to the wind. I'm in a fight. I got to do something. And he was the busier man, and he won the fight. Now, as Harrington said, Ngannou, since he's come back, just looks devastated. How do you see this fight go? Do you know much about Rosenstrike? Have you watched his fights?
Yeah, I've just watched his fights in the UFC. I haven't watched any of his kickboxing fights, but the knockout against Overeem was so devastating. And that was probably his highest level knockout. The difference is Ngannou has been fighting the best of the best in the UFC for a little while. And I feel like this is the biggest test for Rosenstrike, right? So that's the big question there. You just have guys that are able to knock each other out in the first round. Two guys, there's no way. Even if you know everything about mixed martial arts and you are as, you know, everything about these guys and, you know, you have as much knowledge as possible, it's nearly impossible to, you know, pick this fight with any sort of accuracy. It's truly any man's fight.
Yeah, you're right. On paper, both men have the ability to win the fight and knock each other out. But there is some factors you can look at. I mean, if you look at that Overeem fight, Overeem, again, as Harrington said, was in control of that fight. He was winning. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I haven't seen it recently, but if I remember rightly, he was landing more strikes and he was more diverse. He was using kicks. He was using just a more varied skill set, right? Whereas Rosenstrike, for the most point, was just looking for the hands, okay? Now, fair play to Rosenstrike, because he knew he was down. He knew he was going to about to lose his decision, and he thought, shit, I got to go for it here. And he did. He went for it, and he got that massive right hand. There it is. Oh, God, fuck, look at me. That lip.
Fuck
look
me.
At that. Oh, and that's what he did to Overeem. Won the fight. But here's the thing. Ngannou hits just as hard. He has a reach advantage. And here's the one thing that I see. And that doesn't mean he's going to win. But Ngannou's just faster. He's way faster. Way faster, in my humble opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it's just because those 83-inch arms are fucking swinging around and they're taking people's heads off. I'm like, whoa, man. You know, but he just seems a lot faster. So I think when you put the power with the speed and the reach advantage, I got to go with Ngannou in this one, I think. And Biggie Boy, he's on a roll. He's on a roll. He's doing amazing. And I'm a big fan of his. If he beats Ngannou, then Jesus Christ, there's no stopping this man. But I tell you what, we might see Ngannou surprise him and go for a takedown, because I guarantee both men are thinking, well, certainly Rozenstruik, probably thinking there's no way Ngannou's going to shoot. They're both, for the most part, and I don't say this in a disrespectful way, you could label this as two one-dimensional fighters. Two heavyweights that believe in their knockout power that are going to go down there, go out there and just swing. I mean, neither man has even attempted a takedown yet in the UFC. But with Ngannou getting taken down and controlled off Stipe Miocic like he did, he will have definitely learned from that, right? And he might have even implemented a bit of wrestling training. So we might see Ngannou come out here and try and surprise Rozenstruik with an early takedown just to throw him off his game.
I mean, I think only because I don't think that he's probably drilling wrestling too much right now. You know, we just had the conversation earlier about not being able to probably find too many great wrestling training partners. I would assume that, and because it's so tiring to wrestle, I don't see him trying to take him down. How much bigger is Ngannou? Ngannou just looks so much bigger. Are they the same height and similar reach?
He's got an 8-inch reach advantage, I think.
8-inch, okay, 8-inch reach advantage. Jesus Christ. He had, so 6'2", exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Ngannou's a lot bigger.
Sorry,
than
Sorry, 5 inches, 5-inch reach advantage. Pardon me.
You just see Ngannou, you think 8 inches. I know what's going on with you, Bisping.
He's got 8 inches, baby boy. Hey, and he knows how to use it. Okay, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that Rozenstruik's undefeated. It's a weird thing, right? Because you see Ngannou, he's so massive and scary looking, but he's been beaten before. He's been beaten 3 times. So yeah, you know, I'll put some COVID money on this. You want to do it, baby boy?
Oh, you want to go COVID? All right, let's do it,
Corona,
baby.
Corona coin.
All right, listen. So we had 1,000 each. We're going head to head. We're 100 each head to head. Okay. I like Biggie Boy. I like what he's done. He's a massive star these days in Suriname. Never been there. Don't even know where that is. Where is Suriname?
I actually wrote a paper on Suriname in the fourth grade. And I remember, just like an American, when I went to visit Amsterdam, apparently there's a lot of people from Suriname in Amsterdam. And I was 22 years old and I visited Amsterdam and I was just high and on mushrooms and all fucked up. And I kept on meeting people from Suriname and I got so excited and I just kept on telling them facts about their country. Like, just the most obnoxious.
Yeah. It's like somebody, an American, called, hey, Mike, London is the capital of England. I'm like, yeah, I know. Fuck off. He's like, hey, guess what? Your currency is pounds. The Great British sterling. Your currency is sterling. Like, yes, I know. Go away. Where is Suriname? Oh, French Guiana. So it's Africa. Oh, no. Yeah. South America. What am I talking about?
It's in South America. It's a small, it's a really small country. Their capital city, hold on. I don't remember anything anymore. This is in the fourth grade. I remember their chief export was couches. I don't remember. What's the capital? As soon as you say it, I'm going to be upset.
I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not a fucking nerd.
It's Paramaribo.
Yes, Paramaribo. Oh, yeah,
stop.
It is.
Harrington, you're such a little shit. He goes, I believe it's like, number one, trying to take credit like you knew. Secondly, like you didn't have Google. And three, you could clearly see that you didn't know how to pronounce it because you were reading it off the screen. Just try again one more time at pronouncing the capital city of Suriname.
Paramaribo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, straight off the dome. Paramarino.
Okay. I mean, one was highlighted. I assume that was the capital city. I didn't have time to fact check it.
Yeah, I mean, the Alistair win is big, but he was losing the fight. Beyond that, Andre Arlovski is his biggest win. That's the biggest factor. This is a really crazy fight to pick. When you really look at this, he's undefeated. This is the biggest test of his career. We've seen Ngannou lose before. I don't want to put money on Rozenstruik. This is a tough one.
Well, you said you were putting your money where your mouth is. You were going to get jiggy with it. You were feeling a little fresh, a little brave. You said you were going to put your money on. I've got 250 Corona coins on Francis Ngannou taking out Jairzinho. And I'm a big fan of Jairzinho, but I'm just saying, I just think the speed is going to be a factor.
What are the odds, Harrington? Do you know the odds in this fight? It's interesting.
What are the odds of Harrington actually answering your question?
I was looking them up as you were asking. Ngannou is a prohibitive favorite. Looks like minus 270 is where he's sitting at, with Rozenstruik coming back at plus 230.
And I wonder if these odds makers, when they look at it and they assess various different skill sets, and they'll look and they'll say, the underlying factor here, the game changer, if you will, is the speed. I think that's what you'll find, Lewis, is the speed. There's a reason they made him a minus 270 favorite.
Yeah, you're probably right, but fuck it. Since Corona Coin's not real, and it doesn't matter.
Let's make it matter, though.
Real money?
Well, the pittance that we earn from this podcast, let's, on the next time we send out payments, okay?
Whoa, easy. Whoever wins. You got a half mention. I kind of need this money sometimes.
No, I'm not talking about the whole thing, but on the next time, whoever wins, when we tally up the Corona Coins, whoever wins, we get $100.
All right. So essentially we're betting $100.
Yeah, that's gay.
It's $100. No, we'll do the competition here. How about this? Everyone involved, me, you, Brian, and Harrington, it'll just come out of the Believe You Me fund. We'll get an extra $100 off the top. So it's not like it's coming out of our pockets. It'll just come off the next thing. So all of us will compete on this event.
Hold on. You just diminished my chance of winning by threefold. It turned into 1-1. Now I've got to beat three people.
They really need the money.
I don't care. I like my money to come to me. Okay. I'm not doing this podcast to fund Harrington's bloody network of buying hats and constantly going on about birthdays. Okay. I'm sorry.
I think that's a good deal. All four of us start off with 1,000 Corona coin. Okay. This is the first event back. This has been a fucking international pandemic. Whoever has the most Corona coin at the end of it gets $100 out of the Believe You Me funds next month.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's go through the undercard then. Let's bring up the undercard. Let's do this. You want to bring it up on screen, guys? We'll just do the undercard. We'll just do the undercard.
Okay.
And we'll put 100 on each fight. Okay. Each four of us, all four of us, puts 100 on each fight.
Technically we bet however we wanted to bet in order to give us the largest advantage?
Yeah, but doesn't that start making it a little bit like, you know, dicey from the math side? I mean, who's monitoring
dicey, this? Dicey?
Who's figuring this out? Who's going to be doing the math? You know, because
it's Harrington.
Yeah, exactly. Me? And he gets the most obvious shit wrong. When he's got $100 on the line, he's going to, you know, he's going to doctor it in such a way that it leans in his favor. He goes, oh, yeah, sorry. I got the ads from a different website for that one. Sorry, my bad. So we just put 100 on. Right, and it's nice, clean, and crisp. Right, and by the end of it, we tally it up. Fight card. First fight of the night is Ryan Spann versus Sam Alvey. I'll get the ball rolling. I'm going to say Sam Alvey wins. Ryan Spann is a good fighter. He's younger, but I'll still go with Sam Alvey. 100 on him.
Harrington?
Harrington, are you there? If you're going to have to speak...
Sorry, I'll go next. It's fine. I honestly, Ryan Spann, I love Ryan Spann. You know, born August 24th, 1991, from Memphis, Tennessee. You know, he's been fighting professionally since 2013. I don't know if you knew that, Bisping, okay?
Yeah, because I've commentated a number of his fights. You know, I think he's on a losing streak right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real loser. I'll say that right now, and that's why I am picking Smiling Sam Alvey.
All right, Brian, who wins, Alvey or Spann?
I got Sam Alvey.
All right.
Knockout in the second round.
All right. So when Harrington actually just comes back to life, maybe he can give us something.
I've got Ryan Spann on a 4-fight win streak, so I'm going to go with that guy.
Bisping, you know nothing. They pay you.
They pay me. It's surprising. it's surprising. Brian or Harrington, I hope one of you is going to take a tally of what we picked. Okay. Next fight.
I need to say this. It's when you do it for $100 per fight, the problem with this is...
If we all bet the same?
Yeah, we can all bet the same, and it could easily be a tie. Harrington, I got to give him credit here. He does know how to bet pretty well. He's going to be really good at parlaying. He'll put some together. We can just put this on the website. We have the website now, so we can just preemptively before the next show have them all set, and then we'll just have it ready to go instead of trying to improvise it, because I think that there's a better way to do this, and I think we're going to end up with a tie here.
Maybe. All right, well, let's do it your way then. Let's fucking really make it complicated and annoy the listeners. The listeners are listening to this. They're like, fuck it, they don't want to hear this too much. I'm just trying to make it quick and fast and flowy and get it done and I can fuck off and take a piss. You know what I'm saying?
We just do a couple questions and then do this on the next show.
All right. Charles Rosa taking on Bryce Mitchell. Who wins in how many coins?
I'm not betting on this one. I'll say Bryce Mitchell, though. He's on a little bit of a tear, right?
Okay. All right. I'll say Bryce Mitchell also. Brian?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bryce Mitchell.
Harrington?
Bryce Mitchell all day.
All right, there we go.
This would have been great betting.
Yeah. Nico Price, Vicente Luque. I've got Vicente Luque. Brian, who you got?
I like Nico Price in this one.
Okay, head to head, Lewis. Ooh, contrary to your thoughts. Harrington, who are we saying?
Vicente Luque.
Lewis?
I'm going to say it's going to be a split draw for Vicente Luque.
Okay. Next fight on the card, we already know this one, is Uriah Hall versus Jacare Souza. I'm going to stick with my original bet, and I'll put 100 Corona coins on Uriah Hall dismantling Jacare Souza. What say you?
I'm upping mine to 400 Corona coins, saying Jacare is going to wipe the floor, and he's only going to do CrossFit movements.
Hold on a minute. How many coins are we starting with here? I thought it was 100 coins. We got 1,000. Okay, we got 1,000. All right. We got 1,000. There's 12 fights. That means two fights. You know, well, you just keep a tally in your head.
So whoever has the most Corona coin, we can bet over we want, $1,000. If you want to put $1,000 in one fight, you can do that. If you want to spread it across, and we don't have to necessarily decide everything right now. Harrington, we'll have Harrington email everybody, and we'll have it on the website for the next show, and we'll make our official picks.
Okay. I've spent 1, 2, 3. I'm at 400. Next fight is Carla Esparza and Michelle Waterson. I've only got 600 left. I'm not betting on this one, but Waterson, Carla Esparza, Lewis, who wins and how much?
I'm not betting. I'm not going to bet.
Well, that's fun. That's fun in the spirit of the game. Brian?
That's not where I want to spend my money.
Okay, that's fine. I respect your choice. Brian, are you betting on this one? Or do you also not give a fuck about this fight?
I don't give a shit about this fight, no. Honestly.
That's not nice. It's going to be a great fight. Harrington, anything, any love?
I want to see what the odds are on Esparza because I do think that there is value there. But at -155, no, it's too much. I'm going to stay away.
All right, then. Okay. Alexei Oleinik, Fabrizio Werdum. We got this one in Pettis and Cerrone. Then we're done until the next show. So Fabrizio Werdum taking on Alexei Oleinik. I'll get the show running. I'm 1, 2, 3, 4. I bet 400 coins. I'll bet another 100 that Werdum wins.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think Werdum, we discussed it at length on the last show, but I think you're not going to submit him. And I think he's probably got better striking. Higher level experience, probably juice to the gills still. Why not, right? You're not doing testing. There's no way to get people to come to your house now.
I agree. So who wins?
Werdum? I think Werdum wins. I'm debating putting some, but maybe I'll put 100 BIM coin. What's the odds on that one, Harrington?
Fabrizio Werdum is -330. Oleinik coming back at +280.
No, I'm going to stay away from it. There's not enough meat on the bone.
I'll be honest. Eradicate my 100 because at those odds, it's not even worth it. Mm. All right, Cerrone versus Pettis. Sorry, Brian. What say you?
I'm going to put 100 on Oleinik.
All right, 100 on Oleinik.
That's probably a good bet, to be honest. That's probably a good bet. Honestly.
I like it. Looking for his 19th Ezekiel choke. Coming in hot. All right, prelim headliner. Donald Cerrone. Anthony Pettis, rematch, first one, and Anthony Pettis winning the first round with a beautiful liver kick. I will say, I'm going to stay away from this one as well, even though I've got Donald Cerrone winning. I'm not going to... No, I'll put 100 on Cerrone. No, I'll put 100 on Pettis. What are the odds?
It looks like the best you're going to get at Pettis is -130. Cerrone coming back in between 110 and 120.
So if I just -130 for Pettis, if I put 100 on him, what do I get back?
You have to put $130 to win 100 back.
Yeah, so I get like $70 back. It's not really worth it, is it?
76. It comes out to about 77.
All right, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of. It's once again really close fight. Now I'm not going to bet. I think I'm leaning towards. Pettis, maybe, kind of, but not really. Maybe Cerrone.
I'm definitely leaning towards Pettis. I think he's definitely going to win this fight. I do. Brian?
I think Donald Cerrone is going to make a miraculous comeback.
and head kicked Anthony Pettis.
He may do that just because Cerrone is one of those guys, just when you think he's done, he comes back. He came back against Hernandez, had an amazing performance against Alia Quinta, and then lost three in a row, so you never know. All right, that's the prelims. We'll save the rest for the next show on Thursday, Wednesday, whenever we decide we can be bothered to do it. Do we have any questions to finish off today's episode?
I don't have a question, but a guy did send in a bit of content that I thought was pretty fun, so I'm going to play that for you.
Well, real quick, if you guys want to join the conversation, send us any video questions, fan questions, any fan art, anything. If you want to win a free pair of Sanibel gloves, we're accepting submissions, any creative submissions. We always like giving away things on the show. So please shoot us an email at bympod@gmail.com. That's the email address, and we do check it regularly. So,
and by the way, we are keeping a tally of everyone that sent stuff in. We have done, Brian has a tally, the names, the addresses, the email addresses, and we're going to forward them onto Sanibel pretty soon. So anyone that is owed a pair of gloves, make no mistake, they will make their way to you at some point, relatively soon. Turn
your fucking microphone off.
Yes, what are you doing there? Who are you speaking to in such an aggressive manner? Your mother?
No, it's my dad. He knows I'm in the middle of a show. Why is he screaming at me?
32 years old.
Maybe it's because he owns the house. Does he own the house?
You're wearing his hat.
Oh, no. He's definitely wearing his dad's hat. Hey, does he own the house, Harrington?
Of course.
Does he pay the bills?
Yeah.
Okay, so should that have a good answer? Apologize to your father right now. Apologize.
All right, I'll be back.
I want to see. No. Put the camera on.
Oh, no.
Put the camera on. I want to see you. Oh,
no. Hey, Dad, I'm sorry for yelling at you.
Dad, I'm sorry for stealing your hat.
Dad, I'm sorry for stealing your hat. This is my hat.
Lewis, anything?
Say, Dad, I'm sorry for overall being a burden on your household and a plight on the Harrington name.
I'm not going to remember all that.
So I'm sorry for adding to your stress and depreciating your mental health.
I'm sorry for adding to your stress and depreciating your mental health.
Ask him if he'd like some free CBDMD.
You want some free CBDMD? He walked away like...
Tell him if he sends in a video content to bympod@gmail.com, he can get a free pair. Tell him!
Tell him right now.
Tell him!
Hey, if you want a free pair of Sanibel gloves, just send in some content to bympod@gmail.com.
Now go give him a kiss.
Can you ask your dad to come on camera? Would he do that?
I'm sure he would. I don't think he's hearing any of this.
I want to meet your dad. I want to see your dad. Go on, go get your dad. Go get your dad. Go on. This would be great. I want to see the man responsible for Harrington. That's great. I'm sure he's a lovely man. Look at that. It's a nice place he's in there.
Yeah, looks decent.
Looks decent. What is that, like a popcorn machine in the background or something? What is that?
It's way better than he deserves.
It's way better than he deserves.
Think about how annoyed we get at Harrington. Could you only imagine having to raise him all in the formative years where he's making all of his mistakes? He makes so many mistakes now. Could you imagine when he's 10?
But it's like, oh, he's just making these mistakes. He'll grow out of them one day. But he never did. He just continues to make the same mistakes over and over. Where's Mr. Harrington?
He's coming.
Nice. I see you don't have headphones in. Are you streaming this without the use of headphones?
Well, yeah. I mean, he
can't. Oh, God.
Harrington, you look like you're
Mr. Harrington, how are you, sir?
Thank you, yourself.
They're very good, very good. We just, Michael was just telling us how much he loves and worships you. I thought, we got to see this tremendous father.
I'll tell you what, there's a ventriloquist in the room you don't know about.
Hey, tell us something about Harrington when he was younger. Tell us the most embarrassing thing that he ever did.
Oh, man, you don't get that much time.
Come on, just give us one quick one, please.
Well, he stole my car.
Jesus.
Carry on.
He jumped off the roof of my house.
Oh, God.
So the babysitter wouldn't catch him. And took my Cadillac and drove it two towns over. What were you, 14?
Yeah,
14 years old. And he was stopped by a police officer. And the police officer told him his lights were off. So he waved to the police officer, said, "No problem, I'll take care of it." He pushed the button, put the windshield wipers on. Threw his hands up and drove away.
Oh my God! Brilliant, brilliant. Oh, bless him, bless him.
But, well, all kidding aside, I couldn't be more prouder of my son.
Ah, he's great. We love him. We love him. We really do. Thank you. Lovely to meet you, sir.
It's nice to meet you. We love Harrington as well. He's the hardest worker on the network.
Thank you. He's got some good word ethics. So.
He does. He does. It's a shame you dropped him on his head as a baby, though. Yeah. Brian, you were going to play a piece of content for us. Thanks, Harrington.
Yes. So this was sent in by... I'm just blown away by all the lies I just got told.
It's all psychotic. They just cut the fucking microphone. You know Harrington is now screaming at him.
So,
go ahead, Brian.
Roey from Guelph, Ontario sent this in. I thought it was pretty good.
I don't even need to train for this, really.
I can't see it. Sorry, see Brian. It.
It's just audio. Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
Oh,
it's just audio.
Okay, okay.
All right, give me one second.
I don't even need to train for this, really. I just need to go for a few runs. Get in shape. I'll still beat this guy regardless.
I like it. Middleweight champion.
Just last week, a friend asked me, you know, good podcast.
Believe you me.
Oh, shit.
Episodes of Money I Spent, best MMA podcast.
100%.
He'll drink up the stream like Mike downs a bottle. Wait, didn't he quit drinking?
Tomato.
He says it every week, but he's a fighter, not a monk. He'll call up Lewis at 2 a.m.
Fuck me, I'm drunk.
Just to Harrison for playing this for Brian. If they go and show without fucking up, you think,
Jesus, he's real.
Lewis, watch what we're saying, because this thing will shut.
Jesus Christ, cut that bit out. Stipe. DC. Anybody. One eye. Jeez Louise. Oh my God.
I love it. I loved it.
That was good.
Holy. I mean, did you hear he was rhyming and then mixing in your quotes in the middle of the rhymes? Bisping, we need to hear you got to put your microphone up to the speaker. We can barely hear you, but it sounds like you're doing some hot
shit. I've only got one pair of hands, okay? I can't scratch, have the microphone. But look at the gigantic speaker. I pulled it over. I plugged it in. I did a lot of things. Beck, hold the speaker to the microphone. Who sent that in, Brian? That was great.
That was awesome.
Roey from Guelph, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, not for nothing. Roey, do me a favor. Send us just the beat. The we'll end the show with that beat. That was so good.
That was just good.
Like an outro beat. It was so fucking good. I really dug it.
That's good. Who calls the town Guelph? You know what I mean? I'm sure it's a lovely place, but with a name like Guelph, you know, like the mayor of Guelph, is he proud to call himself the mayor of Guelph? No,
probably not. Sounds like a pretty. Well, doesn't sound like it's a very wealthy community.
Oh, sounds like a place for losers. All right. Well, thanks for sending that in. We really appreciate it.
That was awesome.
We'll have a pair of gloves coming your way. We'll be back with another show on Wednesday or Thursday or at some point later this week. Break down the rest of the main card. We'll give fight picks for the main and co-main event. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. In the meantime, look after yourself.
You're the best, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Go subscribe everywhere. Tell your friends about it. Share the show. Peace.